Since the series launched, Big Nate has more than 8 million books in print, 117 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. And now with the seventh book, the series continues with Big Nate Lives It Up. In the latest installment of the series, Nate is asked to befriend a new student. He's all for it until he actually meets the kid. Is Nate stuck with a fun sponge, or does the new kid have a surprise in store that Nate never saw coming? Lincoln Purse is the man behind Big Nate, and he joins us now to tell us about the new book, Big Nate Lives It Up, and other good stuff. Lincoln, thank you very much for being with us. Very nice to have you aboard.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, Joe.
First of all, I believe you're the first guest we've ever had on the program who was a Happy Meal premium.
Well, that just happened a couple of months ago, and Yes, that's true. Big Nate was part of a promotion with McDonald's and my publisher, HarperCollins. And as you know, they often do giveaways with their Happy Meals. And yes, in this particular case, they chose four HarperCollins children's books to make part of the promotion. And the goal was to promote reading and to get books into the hands of kids. And so over the course of those 2 weeks, McDonald's put about 16 million books into the hands of kids. So I was really pleased to be a part of it.
Well, that's really cool. That's very, very neat. So how did this all begin for you? This series comes out, and you're a cartoonist, you're a writer, and you say, okay, this is, because ultimately it started as a comic strip, correct?
Exactly. It started back in 1991, and that was always my dream as a young person, was to get a newspaper comic strip going. I didn't dream of writing books when I was a kid. I dreamed of being a cartoonist like my hero Charles Schulz of Peanuts. And so I was able to achieve that, and Big Nate became a comic strip, and then it just chugged along for about 18 or 19 years, you know, as sort of a modest success. It wasn't widely known, but I was able to keep a roof over our heads. And then, kind of unexpectedly, in 2009, HarperCollins gave me the chance to start writing these books. And unlike the comic strip, which is written for readers of all ages, these books are written specifically for kids. They're targeted for readers of about age 7 to 12. And I had never written a book before at that stage, but I love it. I'm having the time of my life. I had already been writing the characters for years at that point, so I was confident that I could write a longer format, that I could write a novel. And my goal was just to create books that were fun to read, the type of book that, as a kid, I would have really responded to. And I was the sort of kid who, when I'd get a book, I'd flip through it right away to see what sort of illustrations were in there. And so the Big Nate books are called hybrid books in the industry nowadays. Mm. They're kind of a combination of comic storytelling and traditional, you know, text. And I combine the two and in a way that I think kids can find really engaging. And the books have really raised Big Nate's profile, and it's been a huge thrill for me after really many years to have sort of a mid-career kind of renaissance, you know, in a way. It has been really gratifying.
I find it interesting because you started as a cartoonist. Is the art easier for you than coming up with the story?
Well, the writing is always the more challenging part because, you know, you need a good idea. You can always get by with sort of, I'll say, like generic artwork or substandard artwork if you have great writing. And so, of course, my goal is to have both, is to have good writing and good artwork. And I would say that when I started out as a cartoonist, my artwork was, you know, I struggled. I wasn't a natural. And I've improved over time. But the writing has always, I think, come fairly naturally to me. And that's what comes first in the process. You know, I'll think of something, and then I'll think of how to sort of weave in the illustrations and the comic aspect to it. So to me, the writing, although more challenging and more time-consuming than the artwork, is also the part that I think comes more naturally to me.
I spoke with your colleague, Jeff Kinney, of Diary of Wimpy Kid fame not too long ago, and we talked about this, and I'm curious as to your thoughts about what it was about Charles Schulz that makes him your idol. Something about the work that he did that was so deceptively simple, but said so much.
Well, it was his humanity. I mean, it was at the time that Peanuts started. Peanuts came out in 1950. And at the time, if you were to go back in time and look at a comics page from 1950, you'd see a lot of serial cartoons, you know, ones that went along from day to day within kind of an ongoing adventure. And you'd see a lot of what I call gag cartoons, which were really just sort of almost the sorts of things that you could just lift right out of a joke book. But you really weren't necessarily connecting to the characters. And what was, I think, revolutionary about Peanuts was the humanity of the characters and the depth with which he really explored those characters, and the fact that they were sometimes, you know, very poignant, very moving. You know, I mean, Charlie Brown was really, when you get right down to it, kind of a sad, lonely little boy.
Right.
And he was the featured character. And so, as Schulz said many times when he was asked, you know, why can't you let Charlie Brown win every once in a while? And his answer was always, well, because losing is funnier than winning. And I can completely understand what he means, because no one wants to read about someone who's perfect at everything, about a kid who gets an A-plus in every class and wins every game. It's much more interesting to read about a kid who struggles, and Charlie Brown really personified that, and there was no one else doing that at the time, nobody. He was the first, and I think that's what spoke to so many people about Peanuts and made it seem so accessible and so real, because it wasn't just, hey, hey, here's a funny joke. It was, you know, here's a character that you may know, or you may even be this character.
With what you just said in mind, tell us a little bit about Nate and how it is the trials and tribulations of being this kid are so fascinating to read about.
Well, to me, he's a sixth grade boy, and I made him that age way back when I started the strip, because I just found that a fascinating time in my own life. It was a very eventful time, just because that's the age where you go from elementary school, you go from this protective cocoon of elementary school into this hotbed of middle school, where all of a sudden you have six different teachers and, you know, you have school dances and you have a locker, all this stuff that you never had before. And it is just such a seismic shift, I think, for kids to go through right at that age where they're just on the verge of really starting to mature. And so for me, that's one thing that I find really continually interesting about writing for Big Nate, is just the time in his life that he's at. And my own memory of that period is very vivid. I remember sixth grade much more vividly than I do more recent times in my life. You know, I remember it better than high school. And I think, you know, as I said earlier about Charlie Brown, it's more interesting to read about a kid's struggles, and Nate certainly has them, but because I'm writing these books for children, I don't think it would be fair to have Nate just lose all the time, as Charlie Brown so famously did. So I make sure that I give Nate his share of victories, but they never come easily. You know, nothing ever comes easily, and that wouldn't be any fun if things came easily.
Kind of a happy accident.
Exactly.
And I assume, because there is joy that comes from reading the book, that there is some joy in the creation of it.
Absolutely. It's all joy. I mean, yes, it's hard work, and yes, it can be frustrating on those writer's block sorts of days, and it can be tedious if I'm working on a drawing that is taking me 6 hours or 8 hours or 10 hours. But there is so much joy that goes into it, because for me, when that really comes home is when I visit a school, as I did this morning, and I've got kids coming up to me and they're quoting me from my own books. You know, they're telling me about scenes from the book that reminded them of things that really happened to them. And for me, there's no greater joy than feeling that a kid really finds Big Nate authentic, you know, that, because I think kids can recognize something that's phony. And I think the fact that they identify with Nate and they think of Nate as a real kid, to me, is really one of the true rewards of it.
The new book is Big Nate Lives It Up. It is published by HarperCollins. Lincoln Purse, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. Great pleasure to have you aboard.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Best of luck. Thank you. Again, the new book, Big Nate Lives It Up. It's published by HarperCollins. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.